Did you work when you arrived here?
Yes, I started out as a small-time commercial traveller, working for somebody called Harold Rubin. He would probably be my step-brother-in-law.
Right.
I acquired a few of those. And he launched me, and it was only a small way, but I grew from there.
So did you remain living in Ayr?
No. Oh, I came back to Glasgow within months.
Right.
Within months. And I found digs here. Some digs. I won't go into it, but one or two of them were dreadful to begin with. Okay. 1945, we didn't know from recording. I used to write little reports.
After the war ended, your war ended really in 1949.
I couldn't really easily get a job.
Right.
There were plenty of the mob soldiers who couldn't get jobs. But like all Jewish boys in London, I had connections. So I was offered a job in a nightclub. I was sort of the only one who could be trusted to handle the money, because the nightclub business was notoriously, yes. In those days, very naughty.
Sure, still?
Probably still. Anyway, so I was the main money man, and it was a fantastic life. But we worked all night, and not during the day. And during the day, theoretically, I was supposed to rest. Anyway, I did that, and I also, with my sister, tried to use my demob money to start a little dressmaking business. That failed in short no time at all, so that was my money gone. And that's when I came to Scotland.
So when you were working as an interrogator, what age were you then?
21 or thereabouts.
And did you have any training or you have any protocols?
What happened was that I was a corporal in the Pioneer Corps. That's the worst regiment in the British Army. A lot of us refugees were shunted into that. Some were put in the Isle of Man as prisoners. Others, in our case, were in the Army. I was promoted to corporal. I became a drill instructor to the worst scum in the British Army, the Pioneer Corps. And I kept trying to get in the intelligence corps because I had four languages by then, fluently. Obviously Italian, French, because I lived in France in the interim. English, so anyway.
German.
Mm-hmm. So, and German was an important one. So I kept trying to get in the intelligence corps and they kept rejecting me. One selection officer actually asked me if I could drive. And I said, no, sir, but I can speak four languages. He said, no, we'll teach you to become a driver. I swear to you.
It does make you wonder about the British Army.
I don't know how we won the war. So anyway, but then came D-Day.
Right.
And on D-Day, I was moved to London, to Kempton Park, which was those days interrogation camp. I was made sergeant and became an instant interrogator. First of all, with the incoming flood of prisoners of war from D-Day, from the beaches in Normandy.
Right.
Thousands and thousands came in. And we used to have sort of question them briefly, get their records straight. There's too many of them doing anything else. But when I got past the prisoner of war stage, I was put on war crimes interrogation. And that was when I felt I made a contribution. You know, we had some very nasty people.
So did you decide on your own questions? And
yes.
Were you just told...
Well, we weren't even trained. But, you know, most of us, the sergeants, were in the same background as myself.
Right.
Mostly German Jewish refugees who had landed in Britain. They might have been in the kinder transports, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They landed in Britain, landed in the army because, like me, they wanted to be in the army. We didn't want to be foreigners, we didn't want to be whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Quite a few of these sergeants with slightly foreign accents and my kind of background. Well, not quite my background. Listen, you have one of these Nazis standing in front of you. You know, without even questioning what his history is, you know he's worked in a concentration camp or in a ghetto or he's beaten up Jews or he's done whatever. And we worked on that principle. We prejudged. We did prejudge, there's no doubt about it. But we weren't so far wrong. And that's how I went till after the war. We still went on for about a year because the prisoners were still coming, the baddies were still coming before us. And that's why I mentioned a few names. But it was an experience and a half for a young man.
I think you must have had terrible nightmares at night as well.
Mm. For a while, I wasn't hypersensitive, because at that age, you're not.
Mm.
But I did have some, I still have occasionally, some of the people I mentioned. But altogether, the animals that came before you and tried to persuade you, they'd always loved the Jews. Their best friends were Jews. They never met anybody but Jews. Jews were wonderful. I've written about that. They used to invite them to their picnics, like hell they did. But by that time, the Germans were our prisoners, and they lived in fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't always unjustified or unwarranted, because we didn't give him a very good time. No physical ill treatment, none. We didn't do that, but we still didn't make him very happy.
Mm-hmm.
The threat of imprisonment hung over their heads, and that was the thing. We were 21, 22 by then. And we had the power to make judgments. I could say, this guy's a baddie, I recommend 20 years imprisonment. They never served all that time, never, ever. Because the British Army, again, you've no idea. His higher officer thought if a German could speak English, he's a gentleman. He couldn't be bad. But meantime, we used to pass the judgment.
So when they were sentenced to imprisonment for 20 years, where would they be sent?
To camps, internment camps. We had
camps
as well.
In Britain.
Yeah, and no, mostly in Germany, where I was stationed.
Right.
I was stationed in Germany by then. No, we had camps. And what happened was, say I did, for example, interrogated them in an interrogation room. And if I thought they should be dealt with further, I passed my recommendation and the recommendation for sentence and so on. The ones we didn't consider dangerous or really wicked in the big level, we just released. And we had the power to release them as well.
Right.
So they knew they had to be good with us, good boys or else.
Mm-hmm.
But in some cases, I went as far as 30-year sentence. One or two of the people I've written about. But they weren't implemented. A year or two and they were out. And then all the Nazis were out in a year or two anyway. And that's how it went. Eventually I got very tired of what I did. And the minute my military service ended, I quit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was it.